Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of Smash, Loot, and Roll. Last time, our heroes, Adrock, Ares, Bowden, Chip, and Kelgrease, stopped Alexa from completing her plans to resurrect her mother and her coven. Bowden made a desperate attempt to save Alexa, but lost her soul to the sword she carried. Now we catch up with our quintet, relaxing and recovering at Trollskull Manor. The events of the last few weeks have come to a close, so what is next? Let's check in with our heroes and see where the winds of fate take them. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy episode 43, The Call of the Moon.
Everybody all set? Silence is golden.
Yep, I think so.
So, last we left off, you all had successfully defeated Alexa and... Yeah, you successfully defeated her before she was able to finish the ritual that would likely have brought her mother's soul and maybe the rest of her coven out of that sword, the Witchfire Blade. You also know that the mercenaries that she had hired to protect her didn't do so well. Bowden, in a heroic attempt to redeem Alexa, tried to bring her back, but unfortunately it looked like the pact between her and the sword were greater than Bowden's powers.
I have to get stronger.
You guys now have the blade she was using in your possession, the Witchfire. You guys have a couple decisions on what to do with it. I mean, you do have a promise to keep to the ogre in the Greenwoods that had asked for the sword. You also have, might also have some explaining to do to Alexis's uncle about her fate. But since then, you guys have been pondering these questions back at Trollskull Manor, getting some much needed rest and contemplation, recuperation. It's been about 3 days. It's about 3 days after you guys had the battle with Alexa and her entourage that went greatly in your favor. Through some very clever usages of different things and some very good rolls, if I remember correctly.
No shenanigans involved whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. Zero.
Zero shenanigans. But you guys, it's kind of been nice because the other thing you did recently for the town is you brought back Lord Neverwinter to face a trial for some of the racketeering and some of the other crimes he's committed against the city of Waterdeep, and kind of made a name for yourself among some of the guards and everything else. And your tavern has been a little bit more busier than normal when it comes to, various town's guard or various people coming in. So it's starting to get a reputation name,
Oh, great. We're a cop bar.
Yeah.
Right? This is exactly what I wanted. Thank you.
Rainier seems to be very happy with that. Your staff is busy as always, taking care of stuff. The evening rush has pretty much settled down. You guys are enjoying a very good meal and very good drink. Danica has been really outdoing herself when it comes to cooking meals, setting stuff up. The alcohol she's been, especially tonight, the food is extremely well prepared, tasty. It's almost like she decided to throw a big feast and everything together. It took her a couple days to get everything put together. And even Bowden's feeling the effects of the alcohol. You can see him, he's packed away probably two or three times the amount that everybody else has had. But everybody's feeling, some good effects of the alcohol.
I can handle my hogsheads.
Yeah.
I've only had four.
As Bowden picks up as Bowden picks up an empty bowl of soup and starts drinking it like it's his mug and everything else. Eventually each of you crawl, stumble, or basically pass out where you're at. Chip and Kyle sort of curl up by the fire and just sort of hang out there,
Aww.
Kyle makes a nice pillow for Chip, and Chip is probably the loudest snorer of you all. He's the dwarf, but you guys all eventually go to bed. It would seem to be you guys drift off a little bit earlier, you know, for the night and everything else, just for the time. But Kilgrace.
Kilgrace never sleeps.
It's never funny. Sleeps. Yeah.
Check your calendar.
Yeah. So you're not really sure when you feel.
Oh no, I'm aware. Don't worry. I've been practicing. There's a lot of pent up rage inside of me today.
I'm aware too.
Hey.
You're not really sure what's woken you up, but you wake up and it's not the soft sheets of your bed or the linen that you feel in your face, but you feel wet grass. You can smell.
Oh, great. I passed out outside.
It's wet grass. You can smell more of the woods. And not only that, but you feel the breeze on your skin. You're laying sort of face down in the field is what it feels like. But when you look up and you sort of open that your eyes and look around, there's no color to the world. Even though you can see it's a brightly lit night, everything's in shades of gray or darkness.
Awesome.
But while your eyesight seems to be less, your hearing is so much sharper. You can hear metal jingle nearby. You can hear, it almost sounds like keys unlocking chains or bindings. And it,
did you guys chain me up?
But as you look down at your wrist, you notice there's nothing on that. And you can hear what it sounds like soft footfalls starting to move, almost like not just one, but a small group of probably people running, and you can hear their voices going, hurry, you know, we got to move. You understand, you understand the language, but it's garbled and it just doesn't fear. But what it senses to you is when you see the shadows draw across the landscape and everything else, the only thing you can think of is a desire to chase, is a desire to hunt. And at the same time, as you see one of the shadows, your eyesight shifts and you see at the very center of the shadow is a bright red tinge. And you can see that red spiral out from the shadow. You can see it form. Definitely what you see is arms and legs and everything else. And you, as your eyesight takes it in, you notice that it's just not one, it's multiple, and they're running away from you. And you have this just passionate desire, this drive to chase them down, to find out what they are. What would you like to do? You can even hear rapid breathing. You hear a double, you hear multiple da-dump, 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 da-dump. And it's not footfalls that you're hearing. It's almost as if
their heartbeats.
Yes, it's what it sounds like to you. There is a scent in the air that absolutely gives you a euphoric feeling. It's something that you don't recall smell, and it's really hard to describe because it's something that in your mind is makes you think of something that's scared, something that's running from you. But at the same time, it gives you that feeling of power, that level of something control.
Running from me, right.
Euphoric scent of salt and sweat on the air.
So the last time I was forced to make this change, and when we all kind of found out about this, with the help of my trusty friend, Kyle, I was able to kind of semi-control it and not hurt anyone.
You notice there's no such controls right now.
Correct. So
the dog helped you?
Yeah, because when I was looking around, the only thing that I recognized was Kyle.
Aw.
And because I recognized Kyle, that like shocked my system, and I was able to then recognize
you. Oh guys. Lord. Oh Lord, she has no focus.
Yeah, no, I have zero focus.
You have several focuses in front of you. Well, correct. Calling to
I
you.
Have zero focus of not kill. I mean, I don't without catch any
at the
sort
moment.
Of, yeah, without any sort of, you know, distraction like that, I don't know what choice I'm gonna have. I think I'm gonna have to give chase.
Would you like to give chase, or would you like to fight it?
I am a creature of control. Like, I control my surroundings. I control my everything at all times. And that is the only reason that I am still alive, because I was able to slip in and out of everywhere and keep my surroundings under control. So, yes, I want to fight it.
Give me a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom saving.
Translation, Kel Grace's fart can be used as a dog whistle.
Sixteen.
Okay. Unfortunately, the desire, that primal urge, the think of it like a, you know, you've seen the various drunks in the bars that are just like, they're just absolutely miserable if they don't have their drink after a while. It just feels like for you, there's nothing left to do but give that chase, to give in. Yep. And find that red light, and that, you know, follow that red light of what it's doing. And at that same moment, as you're trying to pull back control and everything else, there's another sound that breaks down your barrier even more. You hear the howl of a wolf in the distance. And it's a call that you know very well. You don't know why you know it well, but it's one of those calls that is absolutely pure joy. And it's calling out. It's like, the call is like, give the chase, give into it. And you notice at the same time that those shadows that with those reds in it, you see them start to, instead of moving as they were away from you, suddenly they're darting across your line of vision, and it's almost no control. As you get up, you spring to your feet, and you burst out running into the open after them. And you can see, you focus on one, and as that group of humanoids you now see starts to realize that there is a predator chasing them, they start to scatter in different directions. And you see two of them break off in one group, one break off in another group. And as they separate, you realize it's so much easier to take down one prey. As you leap in the air, as this humanoid makes this turn, you feel your feet crash into its back and everything and drive them into the ground, your claws sinking into its back. And you just instinctively, you suddenly realize that transformation that you've been able to control, you're in that new form, and it just absolutely feels perfect and natural to you. As you crash this creature to the ground, you grab onto the back of its left shoulder and bury the teeth in, and you taste something that you have not tasted since your childhood. It is absolutely the best taste you have. In your mind, it just explodes. It's, you know, back when you were a young dragonborn and being raised and everything else, those treats that you would get into that you'd enjoy so much, that's what it tastes like as it just drips from your, and you cannot help yourself but to dig in and enjoy the flavor that just is overwhelming your mind. It's a euphoric feeling that is very hard. You know, what is a treat from your childhood that you enjoyed so much?
Do you want to know?
You're welcome to share.
I mean, what do dragons eat in all of the fairy tales?
Princesses?
No, we guarded the princesses. We eat the princes.
Gold leaf cookies?
Definitely gold leaf cookies.
There you go. Gold leaf cookies.
Gold leaf cookies.
Shaped like princess.
Hold on. Gary, you'll appreciate this. Oh, never mind. They just took it away. That's the dog perfect. Just attacked the cat right next to me.
Good timing.
Oh my gosh. It's fine. They're just running literally on top of around my chair and like shaking me like nobody's business.
There are others out there. There is more of this delightful feeling to be indulged if you'd like. And as you pull your teeth away from the shoulder and everything else, you let out that what you thought would come out as a triumphant yell of comes out into a howl that you've heard in other parts, that you've heard nearby.
Well, so whole howl or howl roar?
For you, it'd be a howl roar.
Okay.
You have a much deeper howl.
A very deep howl.
Yes.
Okay.
Think of Luna when she howls. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. Okay, how much control do I have? None.
Right now, absolutely none. But if you'd like to try to fight back control, you know, you see other stuff out there. You see what's going on. You give chase, another goes down. The same feeling, the same taste. It's almost as if, you know, the children running through the candy store just enjoying whatever they can because they have full free access to it. And you continue, you move on, you know, it's almost like stopping at a new pastry cart every few minutes. And at some point you feel your body getting sluggish from being sate from all the activity you've enjoyed, all the food. It is just that the trick to fan has finally caught up with you. And it just have slowly made your body so tired that it's just like, okay, I've enjoyed myself to absolutely no end. You know, you've run hard. It's been more than a few hours of just absolutely chasing down this prey, following the red lights back and forth, smelling what you've come to realize is probably a fear scent coming off that is like none other that you've smelled before. Eventually, you find yourself laying once more in the grass, sort of not really curled up, but just in that state of just being satisfied and being happy. And it's almost that you want to drift off to sleep and just enjoy yourself. But there's one last strong scent that breaks in the air that it's not that same smell of copper that you've been smelling the entire night. It's something different. It's got a much more earthy aroma to it, and it draws you a little bit. The draw is stronger, but the draw is not the same as the chase and everything else. It's almost like you want to have that after that nightcap afterwards to enjoy it and finish off the night. As you kind of stumble your way forward, it doesn't take much. And you realize as you get closer, this earthy scent is just completely envelops you to where your sense of smell is just overwhelmed by it. And it's sort of, it's almost feels like it's closing. It's almost enveloping so much that you can feel your eyes and your, you know, all your other senses are sort of being diminished by it, of how strong that stuff is. Sort of like walking into Bed Bath & Beyond at times.
Got it.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, oh God, I can't get there. But you walk up, you drop to your knees, and there's just what you remember from your childhood is just there is the Fay Brown cake. You know, one of your favorite treats that was a very rare thing. One of those very rare things for your mom to make just because of the, getting some of the ingredients were not that difficult, but you sink your teeth into it. And it's just like the perfect top off of the night for you. And you can feel your eyes grow heavy and you feel yourself sort of slumping down just to finish the night. And strangely enough, you hear a voice that's like, huh, that's the new one. I'm impressed you made it through. And you hear another deeper voice and everything else. It goes, well, maybe she is strong enough. It'd be good to hear. And that's the last thing you hear. Suddenly you feel sunlight on your skin. You sort of roll over. You've got that, you know, sticky wetness from the pillow of where you drooled on it for the night as you roll over in your sleep. And you sort of wake up and look around. And you can see the sun cracking through the windows. You can hear Bowden making his way downstairs. None nearly as gracefully as he ever has been.
Bam! Oh! Ow! Oh! Stubbed my toe! Ah!
So,
what form am I in at this point? I'm assuming sunlight.
The sunlight. You're back in your
yeah. That's what I thought.
Dragon form. Your normal dragon. Okay. The form you've been used to all these years.
Okay.
Ares and Adrock, you guys hear Bowden come down the stairs as you guys have made your way. Danica's got a good breakfast on for you. She looks a little worse for wear. It looks like she's had a long night. You don't see the rest of your group and everything else. But
Danica or me?
I'm saying Danica, the cook, the Danica. One of the
okay.
staff.
Good, yeah.
But Adrock, you've been up a little bit earlier, going through your normal examination of figuring out what type of things you'd like to create, figuring the different ways you'd like to put something together. Ares just sort of stumbles downstairs, you know, looking around like, okay, we got to start the day. But what are you guys doing? It is breakfast. After the night of the full moon.
All right. We've put it off long enough. We need to take this sword and give it to the, I don't know, that guy that gave us those cool riding critters.
I don't feel so good.
You look a little worse for the wear.
I'm down to, you know, let her rest and we can give back the sword.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not one to criticize, but there was a lot of bumping and bumpling around up in the rooms yesterday. You guys should take it easy on yourselves.
You guys are... Danica put some plates of food out for you guys to eat. While she's doing that, you guys are...
Give me the hair first. All right. Now I can face the eggs.
I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
What?
I can't eat.
These lovely eggs. Look at these. They're beautiful.
I gotta go. I can't do this. Oh,
look, some salt pork too.
Oh god, this is terrible.
Now we just need some blood pudding.
Oh, I gotta go.
Oh, these sausages are wonderful. Look at the the casings on these guys. Oh, they're just so crispy.
I think I'm gonna puke.
So while you guys are all picking on Kel Grace and she's looking greener and greener and greener, you guys see Danica as she's walking back to the kitchen. She suddenly turns and starts walking to the front door. You guys know that they generally don't open for breakfast. Danica doesn't really let anybody in for about another hour or so. But you see her open the door and you can hear her. She's like, hey, can I help you? You can hear her back and forth a little bit. She's like, she sort of stops and she's like, oh yeah, I recognize him. That's, yeah, he's here. Do you have business with him? And you can hear an emphatic yes from this gentleman. And she goes, well, let me check. He might want you to come back in a little bit. She goes, Adrock, there's somebody out here that I think might want to talk to you.
Oh, who?
Yeah. She's like, I didn't catch your name. Where did I put his name? There it is. She goes, what'd you say your name was? Oh, Archibald Garside. He says he's from the Candle Keep. He'd like to he would like to talk to you.
That doesn't sound like a villain's name, so I'll talk to him.
Come in. So she opens the door, and you see him stumbling, and you kind of, it reminds you of a professor from a college comes walking in, a young one. He's got a bag over his shoulder, he's got a book in his hand and everything else, and he's walking in behind Danica, you know, thanking her and everything else. You see him damn near trip over himself at one point. He's got some, his clothes are modest, not really like commoner clothes, but something to level up. His hair is a little bit messed. He's got probably about a 3-day beard and everything for growth and all that.
So he looks about as good as I do.
Probably a little better. It's when Aries sort of looks at you and goes, did you bite yourself last night? You get a little blood on your chins.
What?
But he comes stumbling and he goes, ah, Adrock. And he goes, I take it you're Adrock. And he's like, he comes up double handed to shake your hand and everything else. He goes, I've been looking for you for quite a while. You're a hard person. You're a hard one to find.
And sit down. You want breakfast?
He goes, oh, I could use some breakfast. It's yeah, please.
Grab a seat.
He pulls up a chair. You see Chip and Kyle are still snoozing by the fire while Danica gets it stirred up.
Dog sort of, so cute.
Gets off. The dog sort of rolls out from under Chip, comes up and starts rubbing up against Aries. You know, walking around the table, going, who's going to give me food?
I'll herd breakfast.
But, so Adrock, back to you on this one. Archibald looks at you and goes, that was weird.
That was weird. A piece of paper just folded over on his legal pad by itself.
Yeah.
You saw that too.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the end of it. It's like,
yeah, no, there was a strong wind that I guess the dogs got outside, so they blew the door open, blew a log wind in.
Yeah, that's maybe what it was.
If you see me pull the 12 gauge, we know we got a problem. Well, anyways, he goes,
It has a problem. You'll be fine.
Right. Yeah. Let's be realistic about our expectations here.
Not sure so, your spouse will be happy to have to repair the drywall, but
still my job.
Well, about you having to repair the drywall as you host Thanksgiving dinner.
What are these holes? Oh, it's an art statement.
Yeah, it's Art Deco. Relax.
Just put a poster over it. It'll be fine.
That's the old Shawshank Redemption move there.
Yeah. Hey, Aries, I'll need some posters from some of your favorite movies to fill in the holes.
I call this piece, I Thought I Grabbed a Salt Round.
Exactly.
Ooh, buckshot. So anyways,
he goes, well, thank you. Thank you for the invite. Wow, it's a wonderful breakfast. He goes, Adrock, correct?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, just like the picture I have, just like the sketch I have of you.
What?
Oh, he lays on the table. He's like, well,
I was in college. I needed to pay for college.
No, I want to see the sketch. Please show me the sketch.
He drew me like one of his French lizards.
He goes, I've been searching for you because I believe you actually are in possession of something that is of importance to not only myself, but the keep that I work for and everything else. I'm not sure if you're aware, but you know, the keep, Candle Keep, is a bit of a scholarly keep that actually studies various things. And in my research, I kept running across a small stone that was reported to provide a level of information to its owners. I was able to, you know, over the last year or so, I've tracked it through various points in history and everything else. It always seems like it shows up at different times and disappears from time to time. But what's interesting is the previous two owners that I've tracked it to, one was a Mr. Rainier Everwinter, I think it was. Not a bad gentleman to talk to. Didn't really have time for me. I was kind of disappointed. But the other one I tracked it to was oh, what do you call the a clothes maker that had the stone, and he pulls out a sketch of the stone. You know, he starts flipping through the book and pulls out a sketching it, lays it out, and it's about palm size. It's flat on, you know, it's got two different sketches, so it shows a flatness. It's a light emerald green, sea green color that's got three, almost looks like three eyelids stacked on top of it. And he goes, I was wondering if you'd seen this stone. In my research, it'd be very important if I could actually find it and study it because of what it can do.
I know of the stone.
Do you know who has it currently? I'd be willing to, you know, besides the fact it's stolen and everything else, I'd be willing to, you know, overlook all that and give fair payment for it.
Hey, Bodhi, I need you to come upstairs with me.
Oh. I was like, what? What?
What?
Oh, I need you. I need your help. Come on.
All right. But my eggs.
Bring them. Bring them with you.
All right.
All right. You. Bodhi and Adra. Bodhi and Kilgrace exit stage left up the stairs.
I sit down across from Archibald. And side note, the stone, I'm not telling him this, but it's between me and it's a GM conversation. Yeah. The stone is attuned to me.
And you've had it in a bag of holding for quite some time.
Yeah.
Second side note, I'm sending your little friend. Can you send your little friend with me so we can still hear this conversation, but not be there?
Yeah. My little homunculus.
I forgot what he was called. It was I was going to say you're ridiculous, and then that was the wrong word.
Ridiculous.
That's what it's called now. Said you're ridiculous. It's canon.
Apparently, Kelgrace can't pronounce homunculus, so it's now ridiculous.
It's been a long night, man. Ridiculous. I don't know what happened.
So to let the party know about what's going on here, I have the Stone of Galore, and it's a pretty amazing artifact. Turns out it's a lawful evil sentient being. And it's got its own traits, and it can communicate telepathically with me, which I don't think it's tried to do in a while.
You've kept it in a bag of holding the entire time.
Oh.
Oh. Reference, it's pissed.
It might actually be pissed because, fun fact, it hungers for information and prefers not to remain in the clutches of any creature for too long. Whenever the stone desires a new owner, it demands to be given to another intelligent creature as quickly as possible. If its demands are ignored, it tries to take control of its owner. The Stone of Galore has a alien intellect that is both domineering and hungry for knowledge. It thinks of itself as an ageless and immortal god. But the kind of the cool part and the reason why this thing exists in this universe is it knows where things are, like vaults, and it knows how to get into them. And we haven't used any charges yet to find any of this stuff out, but
you've never even used it once.
No, never used it.
You literally, oh, I'm going to attune to it. Then you're like, I put it in my bag of holding.
I didn't know what to do with it. So I was like, eh. And now that I'm actually reading this thing about it, now I'm like, oh, this thing's actually pretty cool. So I fear that once I take it out and like put it in front of the guy, stuff's going to get awkward very fast. But I don't quite.
That's a hell of a mind monologue he's got going on in his mind.
Yeah, I don't quite know what else to do. So, I can lie to him, but I'm not a very good liar.
Okay. Well, what would you like to do? Archibald seems to be almost waiting with bated breath for your response. He seems very excited to the fact that he's actually talking to somebody that's either seen or possessed the stone.
Is there a way for Adrock to find out if he knows that Adrock has the stone and he's just kind of testing him out?
Considering you're not there. If you were there in person, you could probably do an insight check. But you're listening. Yeah, you know what? I'll let you do an insight check with disadvantage through the through the ridiculous.
Insight.
Ridiculous.
Through the ridiculous.
It's a homunculus named Rob that rides a skateboard.
Through the ridiculous, I got an 8.
You're not really sure.
You have no idea. All right.
Sad trombone noise.
No.
All right, so I'm going to take it out of my bag of holding and set it down in front of me at the table.
Well, if you could see the squee, it is that look of just, first of all, it's a shock, stunned look that is like, oh my gosh, you have it, to that, oh my gosh, I'm literally in the presence of what I've been searching for probably a long time for this gentleman. And he's shaking with excitement and everything else.
Bodhi and I are coming back downstairs at this point because there's no reason for us to be gone. You ruined it.
You <He's laughs> sort of shaking.
When I was having this conversation in my mind, you could have stepped in and been like, you know, it would be great if you didn't say anything.
I can't hear your mind.
Right, but we're players right now. We can like player things and commune as players.
I literally took Bodhi away as he was about to spill the secret. And in the group chat, I said, you don't have it. We need that shit. I don't know how much more clear I can be.
So, for good minute, he just sort of stands there and looks at it. He doesn't really know what to say or do, but he sort of looks at you and you're just like, can I touch it? Can I hold it?
And I put it in my pocket.
The urge to say good boy right now is very strong.
You can say it in about an hour.
Bode comes stomping down the stairs. I don't know why you needed me to get that under your bed. It's not like you couldn't have reached under to get it. I'm not that short. Clonk, clonk,
clonk, clonk, clonk. But
if I like bend over too far, I'm gonna, it's not gonna be a good day for anyone. Yeah, right. So
the plumber's crack is real.
So yeah, we got that rock.
Yeah.
Adrock's got it somewhere around here. What's so great about it?
I don't know how to tell him that, like, I've been ignoring the rock because we've had more pressing issues to take care of.
Yeah. He's like, I don't think you understand, but that stone has been, from what I can tell, has been in some very unique hands when it comes to those that have owned it. At some point in time, you know, there was a ship captain, one of them were, he's kind of famous for, you know, pretty much mapping the continent and everything else some years ago. But Ford Tusktooth had it and is pretty much, he credits in his journals, he credits the fact of being able to travel the oceans and know the danger parts. And it was always, you know, he always talks about the insight he gained when he had questions and everything for talking to the stone. But it was just a small mention. So, but you know, he even drew a picture and you know, see him flipping through the book and all that. And you could tell the book doesn't have like all the pages are bound. It's like a notebook that he's created individual pages and stuffed them in certain areas, maybe pulled them out of other books type stuff. He pulls another one from, he goes, this one's from the, not the Isle of Man. I forget what it's called. The Isles to the West and everything else. There's one of the rulers that actually had it for some time and, you know, was said to have been buried with it, but, it was kind of a interesting legend that, you know, the grave robbers that eventually got, you know, somebody robbed it, decided to rob a king's grave, which who wouldn't want to, guess it, with all the stuff he's got buried with. And one of the things that was noted that was most notably missing when the tomb robbers were actually captured was the fact that, you know, the stone wasn't there. And everybody was surprised because it was a prize. And he goes, in my probably year and a half of research, I've come across a dozen at least historical figures that this stone has seemed to have crossed paths with at some time, but it always seems to, you know, it always just seems to be forgotten about at some point. It's just it seems lost to him.
Did those historical figures all have happy endings?
Yeah, well, I don't know what you'd call a happy ending. I mean,
well, did they all die a horrible death? Is the first test?
No, I mean, a few of them did, but most, I'd say, probably died. You know, from what I honestly haven't actually researched that, but there's only the 20 or so that I've read about, only two of. One was eaten by a dragon, which was pretty cool. His journal ended. It was really weird and everything else. So it took me a while to go find Sir Tyrell's continuing story. But I found it from a squire that wrote about him and everything. And this guy literally goes off on a 5-minute tangent about Sir Tyrell and his adventures and everything else being killed by a dragon.
You're saying it's not a cursed stone.
I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't believe it to be. There's nothing in my, you know, he starts flipping through the book. There's nothing I'd believe that it'd actually be a cursed stone.
Because I think Adrock was just using it to keep his papers from blowing away. So
that's so disappointing. I mean,
Jesus, Bodhi.
he goes, can I convince? Is there any way? I mean, I can offer you more than a fair wage for it. And you're kind of looking at this guy, you know, pretty much plainly dressed, somewhere between, you know, nicely dressed scholar to, you know, is about the level you're looking at for him.
We've been rather busy dealing with undead, and this is really the first moment we've had to breathe in the last few weeks. So
maybe there's a story there I can sit down and I'd be interested in hearing that story too.
Sure you would.
If you've heard one undead, you know, wants to raise their minions back to life, you've heard them all. But really, if this is the first time I've gotten a chance to even, you know, see what the stone can do, not really interested in parting with it just yet before we find out more about it.
He looks like a smart guy. Maybe he can help you learn about it.
Yeah, Archibald, how do I get this thing running?
I it's like I haven't even the foggiest. There's been never. He goes, well, hold on. You know, flips some pages back, scans. You know, while he's doing that, you see him sort of reach over, grab some breakfast, gnawing on some sausage. I mean, just completely, you guys have now completely ceased to exist for like 3 minutes as he's going back through the page.
So Kyle is like sticking his head up above the edge of the table, just about to eat a piece of bacon, and Archibald's like, snatch!
Yep.
And just completely Perfect. Obliviously grabs it out of the dog's mouth and starts chewing on it.
Oh, yeah.
While he's eating and while he's looking through his pages, I grab the stone out of my pocket. And I'm holding it in front of me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm wondering, what do you know?
What do you know?
When you say what do you know, when you go into a large empty room, and you speak in a normal voice, you hear that. I guess it'd be a tinning sound, sort of like that echo tinning. Your voice just sounds odd. And you hear a response that's like, ask me a question.
Does only he hear this?
Yeah, only he hears it.
Anybody got a good question I can ask him?
Also, Adrock's like, anybody got a good question to ask?
What happened last night?
Let's do better than that. What are you?
Who are you talking to?
The stone. What master do you serve?
Ah.
Marvel reference for all those.
I think he's lost it, guys.
Ask, if you're talking to the rock and it seems to know something, ask him if there's another threat to the city.
So All right, your first question is, do you ask it, what are you? And in your mind, you, for a moment, you're not really sure what you see. Then you at first you think you're looking up at the night sky, like the starfield that you see for a moment. Then all of a sudden you realize it's not just a night sky, but it's like a sea of stars that you're in. And you see a large form that at first reminds you of a whale moving through the stars. Then you see, as the whale moves, you see a large set of tentacles on either side, four tentacles total. And it suddenly turns the front of its body, which would be the head. And you can see the one eye that has locked onto you turns and looks at you. And then you see both eyes lock onto you. And you see a giant sawtooth maw that reminds you of the layers of a shark's mouth. Before it all of a sudden flashes out of your mind. If you would like to give me a either
what?
Arcana roll.
Yeah, I can do that.
A history roll.
27 for Arcana.
Okay. You've definitely heard of these things in your studies of Arcana for creatures and everything else.
That was a nat 20, by the way.
Nicely done. You know this to be an aboleth. An interesting creature of its own that have a hierarchical society of where they are set their mind as one step below what gods are in this world. But they travel the astral plane, they travel in different parts of the multiverse that's here. And their machinations are pretty much unknown. But you do know there is a level of world domination that falls behind them. They are in some cases worshipped as gods by different races, and there's a race that you've read about called the Chulls, basically crab people, or lobster people, I should say, is a better word for it, is the best way to describe it, because you've seen pictures of them. Basically, like 6 foot tall lobsters seem to be one of the more dedicated worshipers that could be found in various worlds. While you get all that image in your mind and everything else, and you get that knowledge flashback and everything else, you literally have Archibald staring at you, looking at it, just intently watching you as you've just interacted. So basically what you've just done is cast the Legend Lore spell.
Mm.
So you have the stone allows you to cast the Legend Lore spell 3 times a day. Then you need a long rest.
Okay. Well, it long rest, and then it
recharges a 3.
Roll to recharge it.
Yep.
So this is a...
You don't even need to roll. It automatically recharges the 3 times.
Oh, nice. This is an aboleth, I say to Archibald.
The look of shock and stun is just like beyond him.
And apparently I can ask it questions and it'll tell me things. You got anything good I can ask it, Archibald?
He goes, yeah, I'd be curious to confirm this. Does a Kraken exist in Waterdeep Bay?
Okay. Hey, Stone.
Stony.
Does a crack exist in, you said, Neverwinter Bay?
Kraken.
Kraken. Oh, a Kraken? I'm sure a Kraken exists in Neverwinter Bay, but we'll...
Not Neverwinter. What did I say, Neverwinter Bay? I should have said Waterdeep, sorry.
Waterdeep Bay. Yeah, you might have said Waterdeep. I was reading about Neverwinter because it's on the lore page for this thing. Does a Kraken exist in Waterdeep Bay?
Do you almost, you get a sort of a wave of not really discuss, but it's like, really, you're bothering me with a mundane question. But you see, suddenly you're overlooking the Bay of Waterdeep, and you see yourself dive below the water, and it's just bubbles, bubble, 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 bubbles. And at some point, you can see the bottom. You see the bottom of the bay, and you suddenly see this eye that's about as tall as you are. The eyelid just sort of folds open. This one eye looks at you and shuts, and you snap out of it.
I'll go with a yes. And the stone seems pretty unhappy that we're using it for common trivia.
That's two.
So I think that next time we talk to it, we're going to have to give it something better than we're doing.
Yeah, if you like a description of legend lore, name or describe a person, place, or object. The spell brings to mind a brief summary of significant lore about the thing you named. Lore might consist of current tales, forgotten stories, or even secret lore that has never been widely known. If the thing you named isn't of legendary importance, you gain no information. Not necessarily true in that aspect. You will gain something to a point.
Ask it who is the greatest threat to the populace of Waterdeep currently?
And if it shows us a picture of us, what do you want me to do? Like, do we want to know the answer to that question?
I do.
I want to figure out, so this thing is alive, this thing is sentient. I want to figure out what it wants. Anything, Aries? You got anything? No? You, Kelgrace?
I don't really know where I am right now.
Here, have another sausage.
Oh, God.
Your beer's low, too.
Yeah. Danica brings you out a bit of a mixture that seems to have more veggies in it than anything else. And she looks at you. She goes, here, this will help. And you notice she's nursing. It looks like she's nursing one herself. She almost looks as looks as rough as you.
Looks like half the staff looks like them. What the heck?
Almost.
I mean, it was my first time. Cut me some slack.
By the way, I think Bowden's completely oblivious to the transition evenings. So,
yeah. So Archibald is like, this would make a fascinating area of study for me. He's like, I don't know what to say to convince you to give this up, but maybe this will help. And he grabs the bag off dropped off the floor that he had on his shoulder and everything else. And he kind of just upends it on the table, sort of moves it, you know, pushes some food out of the way. And you see a gold and silver circlet that looks like a headband go clang, clang, clang on the table. A couple rings bounce out on the table. One of them's a gold and platinum weave on it that's got some, you know, just a quick look, some arcane symbols on it. Another one's a gold band that's got a jade stone on it. There's another one that sort of looks like a almost like a tuning fork that sort of falls out, clanks to the ground, bounces like ding 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 ding. And
I cover my ears.
Yeah. It sounds a little loud. And surprisingly, there's a metal red rose that sort of, Even the stem on this is fully red. It's like somebody made a metal rose and everything sort of falls on the table. He's like, I have these. In my travels, I've, you know, collected some various magic items that I know are useful. Really, I should have turned them in order, but I've been trying to save them in case I ever really encounter this. And I'm willing to give you everything I have here for that stone.
I drop the carrot out of my mouth because there are shiny objects afoot.
Oh yeah, there's shiny objects. Like I said, there's a gold and silver headband. Gawk. There's two rings. There's a tuning fork, and there's a metal red rose.
The red rose is of great interest.
Just Landrock, wait for your...
if you would, before you sell it, ask that one question. I'd appreciate it.
All right, I'll ask.
I mean, hey, Stone. I sell it, but do it. Definitely ask that question.
Hey, Stone, what's the greatest threat facing Waterdeep right now?
You see, it takes a moment to look around, but you get pretty much nothing. And you see several different humanoid figures in various robes, looking. It's almost like you got several individual pictures looking around, about a dozen different groups. You have, definitely a nobleman. You've got. It looks like there is a female ship captain. It looks like there's a somebody who does business when it comes to dealing with merchandise, big merchandise and that. But they're all various different parts. And one of the common themes you notice with them is they all seem to be positions of trust. Because at one point in time, you see in the image all 12 of them moving into the legislative house for Waterdeep. And Adrock, you're thinking to yourself, you've heard stories, and the masked lords of Waterdeep are probably a good analogy to what he's shown you.
That's trippy. We've seen the bad guys and they're running the place.
So he's one of the few people who's actually seen the faces of all the 12 masked lords of Waterdeep.
I guess. Yeah. Or he knows them.
I just hope nobody knows that you know that.
that's not a thing to share with our buddy.
Question is, does Adrock...
Archibald's like, am I missing something?
No, I asked the question. Didn't really give me much. And it looks, all the eyes are closed, so I guess it's done for the day.
Yeah.
And I put it back in my pocket.
He's like, you...
Oh, it rests, not you have to go rest.
The stone basically shuts off.
Got it. The I battery really thought is, he could ask it questions and then he had to go to the rest. That's how I interpreted that.
Right. I need to pause for a second. We'll be right back.
Okay. That would be actually very entertaining.
Yes, it would.
Here's your final answer of the day. Clunk.
Ares, while you're sitting there enjoying breakfast, petting Kyle and everything, you've always had a curiosity about the various job boards that, people that come and post jobs inside the various taverns from time to time. It's just an old habit from your days of being a hunter, collecting bounties and things like that. So you sort of can't resist when you see. When you look up and, Danica's finally opened up the, you guys have been here probably a little over an hour talking with Archibald and enjoying breakfast. And, you're kind of surprised to see somebody actually walking in and putting a flyer on your post-it board and everything else. And you've seen most of the people that do it and you're like, huh, this one's a little odd. But, out of curiosity, it's just one of those things that, you cannot seem to resist going up to just peruse through the job boards. And you haven't really looked at Troll Skull. In the couple of days you've been here relaxing and everything else, you've pretty much read everything. And this would probably be the first new one in about 2 or 3 days. About 3 days total.
I would love to go see the post.
Yeah, you get up there. It goes, so... Are you brave enough?
Free dragon woman.
Wanted. Free dragon woman. No. He goes, so are you brave enough to go join the hunt and help us and help collect the various ingredients that are needed to help the wizards fuel their abilities to make the various items that help aid the kingdom.
Which kingdom is this?
It says the Lord's Alliance, but mainly Waterdeep.
Okay.
The kingdom. But it says, you know, help various the wizards of Waterdeep build up the arsenal and help protect it and everything else. It says looking for those adventurers and those of strong heart that are willing to go hunt creatures that have the various components needed to aid in the development of various magical entities. If so, please see Thomas Brennan, and gives you an address in Waterdeep.
Okay.
That's good pay.
I know my curiosity is definitely piqued, and I would love to go check that out.
Yeah.
I just want to take a nap.
Kyle comes over, puts his head in his lap, and sort of gives you the big eyes like, yeah, we can. It sort of hangs out there with you.
You know, dogs, bacon, go together.
I don't know if I necessarily want to go alone, though. Maybe I try to convince. I know Kel Grace is taking a nap, but maybe Bodhi would accompany me.
Yeah.
What? Where are we going? We gotta take
this
sword back
not,
to that weird guy.
This is not an errand that Kel Grace should be seen on either.
At the same time, money.
I stick to the shadows. I don't want to be like, hey!
It sounds like they're trying to do something good. Sounds like the wizards are trying to do something to keep the kingdom safe. I'm all for that.
I agree completely.
I will happily support from the background.
Yeah.
Quick question. Using the... are they Ioun stones? What kind of stones are they for the flying critters? They're flying creatures. We have stones that turn into flying creatures. Like
you have little griffins that turn into griffins. Okay, they're little figurine griffins.
Okay, so figures. Flying one of those, how long would it take to get from here to the ogre mage? I guess he's an ogre mage or whatever he is. The two.
You could make it there and back in half a day.
Okay.
The distance would be probably about 2 hours flight.
Oh, good. Tell you what, Ares, I just want to fly out there, drop off this sword, and come back.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right.
Sword first, then visit the wizards.
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. Archibald and Kel Grace and Adrox seem to be a bit of a conversation as you guys get up and head out. Chip has seemed to finally woken up. Is going through his morning katas and practice that he always does, and at the same time, your manor, the area for the manor and the bar and everything else is starting to get filled up with patrons and everything else. So you move on. But Kel Grace, you decide to hang back, relax for the day.
Yes.
Danica needed. Looks at you and she's like, "If you need to talk, dear, I know what it's like to go through that change."
Yep, let's do that.
Yeah. So, Bowden and Ares, you sort of pop out, get on the griffin.
Oh, we got two griffins. Everybody gets their own griffin.
It's a dwarf on a griffin and a tiefling on a griffin.
Right.
You notice as you guys are flying out of Waterdeep, and you get a few of the guards on various towers, you know, training.
Are we supposed to like tell them when we're using those first?
Training ballistas on it. You see a couple of the griffin riders sort of wing in, and they wing past you, realize it's you guys, and they sort of wing on by you.
That's right.
They're like, oh, it's you guys. they don't seem to be as upset about people flying out of the city as much as they care about people flying into the city.
Yeah. I yell to them, we'll be back in about 4 hours.
They acknowledge you with a salute and keep veering off.
Yeah. Top Gun style. Wing over.
Hey, look, flock of geese. As you guys fly over, you guys head east away from the coast into the Greenwoods. And you're like, you know, this is a much better way to travel than it is to walk through the giant old forest as you get there. As you're flying by, you can see the it goes from city to farmland to timber farmers and everything else who are on the outskirts of the or right on the out edge of the forest. And you can see it seems like they'll cut the smaller trees, and every now and then there'll be the big giant, you know, 8-foot circumference trunk tree that's just left there that towers a couple, you know, upwards of 300 feet in the air and everything else. They've left standing for whatever reason and cleared out some of the smaller trees. But after a little less than a 2-hour flight, you guys, Aries, I don't think you were there with him on this trip, but Bowden, you recognize the overgrown keep that's right on the edge of the river as you guys come circling in.
As you got... wizard, call off your bones.
Give me a persuasion check as you shout that out, as you see three skeletal birds leap into the air and start coming towards you.
Natural 20.
So as the birds come moving towards you and everything else, as they dive into attack on you in a formation, you see them suddenly just sort of veer off and pass you safely. And you see them circle back around. You see them heading towards like one of the main towers, one of the gate towers that you guys encountered the two-headed ogre at. And as you see the three birds, or the three skeletal birds, large birds, 8-foot wingspan type thing, pass over the tower, you notice that same two-headed ogre sort of standing there, looking up at you guys. Almost waiting.
I hold up the sword. Hey, we got the sword.
As he waves you down, and you see the one head on his right shoulder seems just to be cackling, laughing, spittle drooling. And when you guys land, you see he sees the sword. That head sort of goes from that just sort of like the manacle, the goofy laughter to an excited laughter, like, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. And the other head sort of looks at you, is like, huh, there's honor among you creatures.
Is he all right?
Ah, he's fine.
Okay.
You see him reach up, you see him reach up with a, you see him reach up with the hand, calm down. Literally slaps himself, calm down. And he goes, and he holds out his hand for it. And then at the same time, he sort of pulls back for a second. He's like, You sort of see him staple his, not really staple, but rub his fingers together. Like he's almost reluctant to touch it for a moment.
It's in cloth. It's nobody's in cloth. Touched it. Yeah. None of us touched it.
Okay. It's around. And he's like, just put it on the ground for now.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. I need you to promise me. And I know you seem like a fairly honorable guy. I hope that you're not intending to do something malign with this. It's a very powerful thing. The last person who used it did very bad things with it. I hope that's not your intent.
My intent is to study it for the information it has and maybe aid me in finding what I believe is in the heart of these woods.
What's in the heart of the woods? If you don't mind me asking.
He says there is a, I guess for lack of a better term, it would be a dragon, an old one. I don't think it lives anymore. You know, he goes, I don't think it lives anymore. He goes, and you hear the other calculated head, oh no, it lives. It lives. It will live forever. He's like,
is it a good bat dragon or a bad dragon?
He goes, doesn't matter to me. He goes, but if the lair is there, it has a level of knowledge that will aid me in continuing to cheat death.
Oh. Well, you look pretty healthy now. Looks like it's working for you. I mean, other than your friend, you know, there's that. But.
Yeah. Because time is a great equalizer. And so far, few have beat time. But this will allow me to.
How you doing so far? I'm only in my first 100.
Because I've lived longer than some, less than others.
Oh, great puzzles!
when he says that he has an honest statement of he probably doesn't really know his age.
Oh.
And you're guessing that his isolation out here, and the fact that he's got two heads is sort of playing into some problems.
You, my friend, need somebody to throw you a birthday party once in a while.
It's like, that would be interesting. Would you come?
Absolutely. When's your birthday? Do you remember it? Has it been that long? I don't mean, and I do not say that with sarcasm.
No. He's like, I think it was on the solstice.
Pull out my little pad.
You're like, solstice is like about 5 months off.
Right. Oh. Write down a note. Birthday party for two-head ogre. Solstice. We're coming up on summer, right? All right, summer solstice.
You're in the middle of summer. I mean, you just got through flame rule. So
solstice is a fall thing, or is it a winter solstice?
I'm double-checking. Winter solstice. So that's in... pretty much the 5 months from basically a little less than 5 months from now.
So we're analogous to August now, and yeah, it's in December-ish.
Yep.
The analog, whatever that might be.
Yeah. I'll actually upload at some point the calendar so you guys can do the analog.
All right. Birthday party with the ogre. December, whatever that name is.
Yep. You remember the ogre's name?
I might have it in notes somewhere.
It's Fulgrim.
Fulgrim. Oh, yeah. I think I do have that.
He's like, well.
Birthday party for Fulgrim.
Ares, you're kind of sitting there next to Bodin, you know, about a seven.
Planning a birthday party.
For a almost 8 foot tall, two-headed ogre that, judging by his attire, you know, you've hunted other people that have similar markings and similar tattoos and everything else, and you're pretty sure this creature dabbles in death magic or necromancy.
Well, you know, he said that he's gonna study it for good, so until that's proven wrong, I'm okay for now.
we also basically alluded when we first talked about this trade that it's like, hey, if we find out you're a villain, we're gonna hunt you down and kill you, so you better not.
Yeah. Bodhi writing checks that we gotta cash.
When has that never not been my MO?
So you'll stay for a drink.
Absolutely. You want me to leave this here on the ground? I don't want it to get dirty or taken or anything away or anything. You want me to drop it in the box or something?
No. I'll have it brought with us. Okay. See a couple skeletons walk up and pick it up.
One skeleton gets this weird look in his eye.
He gets a weird look in his eye. You see Fulgrim snaps his fingers and things a pile of bones again. Snaps his fingers, it raises back up.
Yeah. We'll do that again, will he?
You guys,
don't worry. We'll get back and meet with those guys in just a second. We'll just have a quick drink and head out.
Yeah. You guys have a barely decent drink. I mean, the alcohol he probably has is probably home brewed. So a little rough. But while you guys are flying out and everything,
don't drink in Griffin.
Don't drink in Griffin. You see, Ares getting a little brave, and he decides to dive through the trees, you know, sort of bring the griffin down to tree level, swing up and down, in and out, left and right through the branches. Seems to be doing okay. Every now and then you'll hear him, oof, as you hear a branch slap against him.
So I'm not a good griffin driver is what I'm hearing.
Oh, you're actually pretty good. He just stayed on the entire time. He didn't fall off.
Yeah. Bowden is basically locked to the saddle, flying as straight as humanly possible, not looking down any more than he absolutely has to. It's like, he's okay with this. He's just not, he's watching what you're doing. He's like, no.
And then Ares gets a little ballsy, comes alongside you, sort of barrel rolls slowly over the top of you, inverts, and continues to roll past you.
You realize the griffin can't fly upside down. Oh, God!
You guys continue to make your way back for a little bit. While they're flying back, Kelgrace.
Yes.
You've had a rough night. You're not really sure. You're pretty sure not everything was a dream, but a lot of it is lost in a bit of a haze. And you've taken the time to go pull yourself away from the main halls that gets crowded for the morning rush and everything. And you eventually hear a quiet knock at the door. You see Dan, she doesn't wait for you to say yes, come in or anything like that. Danica pops her head in. And she goes, here, this will probably be a lot more tasty than what Bowden likes to eat. And it's more of a bit of a fruit platter. It's more of a fruit platter, more plain stuff, considering Bowden has a hankering for a lot of the more heavier foods.
Yeah. Like a meat detox, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm getting the meat sweats. I got to get rid of it.
You smell like halfling. What the heck?
Oh, boy.
She looks at you, she's like, first full moon?
Yeah.
Well, they're not easy. It's taken me some years to come to terms with that, but they can become easier if you choose to. But they will never be, you'll never be without some type of struggle.
I don't even know what's real and what's not right now.
She goes, well, first let me apologize to you, and probably don't tell your companions, but I heavily laced your food and drink last night, trying to hopefully keep you unconscious for the change. And yeah, the rest of your crew sort of got their fair share too, but they seem to do okay.
Good to know. Didn't quite work.
She's like, no, I was. When I checked on you later, when the full moon was up, you were gone. It would seem. What took you? She goes, what gifted you is not the same that gifted me, as your call was much, much stronger.
Ah.
And you see her slightly shift form a little bit. And she takes on more of a, you know, you see the whiskers sort of grow out the nose elongates. It looks more like a rodent. She looks, you know, she changes into more like a rodent hybrid. Yeah, like a were-rat would be it'd be the accurate description. Okay. And she goes, living in the sewers and, you know, living among the dregs and those forgotten here in Waterdeep and everything else, it's amazing what type of diseases the rats in the city actually hold. Unfortunately, not only I, but my brother, as well as the two others you have working for us, have all been afflicted with this curse as well. But over the years, you know, we were lucky because we found a mentor and those that were willing to help us fight through it. But not all of our kind are successful. You need to be very aware that there are groups that will hunt us and hunt you for what you are now.
Understood. Can they tell when I'm not in that form what I am?
The good hunters can, yes.
Okay.
They are talented, so... But if you do not draw attention to yourself, it will be difficult for them to find you.
That is my specialty, stay in the background.
Stay in the background. She's like, well, our kind need, well, yeah, our kind, even though I'm not sure what's afflicted you, but our kind needs to stick together because there are those that hate and will, for lack, will simply kill us for what we've been cursed with.
Understood.
My
group is aware of my affliction. It was brought out once before in magic, not by a full moon.
Weird. I've never heard of that before.
Yes. Yeah, it was great. That was a fun moment. It did not last long, but my group is aware. So I don't know if they're aware that that's what I was up to last night. Definitely not Bodhi, blissfully unaware.
She's like, no, but I'll definitely need to get one of the boys up here to clean you, to scrub some of the stains off the. And she looks around, you can see like the bloody print on the wood, things like that. And she sort of looks at the window and everything. She looks at the window and looks at the door, and she's like, that's odd. Huh. I'm surprised nothing's... You didn't break anything. That's really different.
I don't obviously know what's going to happen to me in this form, but in my previous life, my job was to get in and out of places undetected, so that may have had some impact.
Well, wow. I'm quite impressed. She's like, I recall actually being conscious enough to remember my transformation and the call that it did. I barely had the skills to turn a door handle. So the fact that you came out of this room, and she's sort of looking around like, you know, the bed's not, you know, nothing's really out of place. She's like, you may do better than most. You seem to have a level of control already, which is kind of envious of, actually.
So about that, the one thing that I don't think it was a dream. I think this was real. But at the end of the night, I like had this amazing cake, and all I remember is somebody saying, huh, she's stronger than we thought. She made it. And I don't know what that means.
She's got that look of confusion. She's like, I don't know what to tell you on that. Maybe I'll ask around in the circles. See what we can find out, but I'm not
without calling too much attention. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
She goes. Me and my brother and his friends lived here for almost a full year without drawing attention to an abandoned manor.
Well done.
So quite good at it. She's like, but well that. Done. She's like, there's a, yeah, I. I'll see what I can do. I was just like, I kind of puzzled me at that one.
Okay.
So.
It does make sense now, if you drugged the food, how I just kind of woke up in the grass. So that would make sense.
Well, some.
I didn't know how I got outside. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you either.
Do they like release humans for this, or like how does this work? Because they were definitely It seems like a group of people just ready for a hunt.
You see her pause for a moment. She's just like, she's like, I've heard, we've heard rumors from time to time, especially Gerald, who likes to hang out with the, some of the, I wouldn't call them thieves, but some, what the guards of Waterdeep would call the criminal element, but, you know, low level criminals, drugs, petty theft, things like that. But there's always this rumor that goes around that to keep the jail from getting too full, you know, prisoners always turn up missing. Most of them most of them are claimed to, you know, been killed while trying to escape or some type of fight in the prison and everything else. But there's always a there's always the rumor saying that there's always been a rumor that says the guard, you know, the guards are paid well to take criminals out and use them for sport. Coincidentally, sometimes it's, you know, it's done on a full moon. But, you know, one of the rumors we hear is that the nobles, there are some nobles that have a, I guess I'd say a sadistic sense of humor and like to hunt and like the thrill of a kill in a safe environment. Heard, you hear a lot of different things from time to time, but
are any of those the hunters that you spoke of?
The nobles?
Yes.
I can't see some of the nobles here doing much more than firing the crossbow after the real hunters had successfully boxed in the quarry for them. Their quarry.
Fair.
Most of them probably couldn't find their way, probably wouldn't know the dangerous end of a dagger, much less being able to hunt things. Not most of these nobles.
Okay. No, that's good to know.
She's like, yeah, she says there's been some strange rumors we've heard over the years. But you know, this is Waterdeep, so I'm sure stranger things have been told with tales and everything else, but I can ask around. You know, I'll ask around, see what I hear, see what turns up. But okay. I'm sorry you had such a hard time, but at least, at least your first night out, you survived.
Is that not normal?
Well, when you transform into something that is simply wants to give in to its most base desires, especially in the city, you generally cross paths with somebody or multiple somebodies that have no issue, you know, putting you down like a rabid dog.
Understood.
I know of a few of our kind that have been prominently displayed before in Waterdeep as, you know, the guards are taking care of the lycanthropy problem that is rumored, is that they claim is under control in the city. And every now and then they'll point to somebody that may have been infected with it, and it's kind of hard to tell.
Got it. You
know, whatever the guards say, the guards generally say is true.
Okay. Well, this has been really helpful. Thank you for trying to help me through. Recognizing what was going to happen probably around the same time I did.
Well, if you
how were you able to identify that, by the way?
Oh, she goes, our kind has a very unique scent. Is, you know, we have the senses to detect it, unlike the untouched, like your companions. there's a scent about you. There's an aura. She goes, now, don't get me wrong. There are some magic users that will be able to quickly detect it and see that. That might be a problem for you as well. But among those that have been cursed or gifted, as some would say, with what we have, there are tells, and mainly it's a scent. She goes, I don't know, but I quickly saw who you were very quickly. And you definitely have the aura and the scent of one of the more powerful of our kind.
Do you have any suggestions to me in terms of a mentor?
I wouldn't even know where to begin on that aspect. I lucked out. But it would seem that the plague of rats in Waterdeep is much more numerous than your kind.
Fair.
It seems your kind is much more hunted and stomped out much quicker than our kind is.
Got it. Great. Thanks.
She says, but he goes, I'm sorry, I'm not more helpful, but you know, I've never honestly encountered much outside.
A were-dragon?
Yeah. Not even sure what you are. She goes, I can smell it. She goes, you have the scent, you have the canine scent, the wolf scent. But
got it.
Which terrifies me more often than you can imagine.
Yeah.
Bowden's getting a little bit more speed out of the Griffins with the gas power.
Okay.
For all those on the podcast, it's just Bowden wiping his nose going, hey, it stinks in here.
Making the poutinky face.
There we go. Poutini face. She's like, so always here to talk, dear. But
thank you.
Not sure how much help I can be.
Fair enough. Appreciate all right. Your friendship.
Yep. She goes, get cleaned up, and I'll make sure one of the boys gets up here and takes out some of the darker spots that are on the wood.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. Adrock, back to since you were had to step away for a moment. Back to your conversation. Now, would you like to continue with Archibald, or would you like to basically give him the cold shoulder and say pound sand?
We're not done with the stone yet. I don't mind giving it to you, but just not yet. Want to learn more about it and see what we can learn from it before I give it over to you.
You go, okay, that I can live with that. It's like I've searched for this thing for quite a while. I know it exists. I've actually seen it. That's more than I can say of a lot of things myself or other scholars in my position have encountered. So he goes, okay. I have to think of what to do next. You see him, all the stuff that he dumped out on the table, you see him sort of push it back in the bag. And he goes, I will, I'll find a place and I guess we'll be in touch. I'm kind of glad the other group like you recognize where you were, because this turned out to be one of the best days I've had in a long time. Yeah, I like I said, glad I found somebody who knew where to look for you. It was very nice to meet you, Adrock. I will hopefully you will be in touch with me very soon, but I will definitely get a message of how to find me. And I'll be in the city until then.
Okay.
So
lurking by our door every day.
Don't find me, I'll find you.
Definitely.
Hey, Drac, what you doing today? Oh, great, Archibald. Well, good to see you, too.
I get a great repetitive character now.
The adoring fan.
But I'm your biggest fan.
What'd you learn about today?
Yeah. So, while the conversation goes on, Kelgrace has gone about her way. Adrock, you and Archibald had a conversation back and forth that probably lasts most of the morning, about the time Ares and Bowden return. You guys, Kelgrace, you know, you guys meet back up in the main area of the manor. Lunch rush has just kind of ended when you guys all get back together. And as you all get down, there's a small gnomish, probably a very young gnome by the look and everything. Got that Chip's got the boyish look and everything else for being young, but this one's definitely hasn't even really grown in the facial hair yet. It's got a bit of an excited look, and you see he's kind of hard to miss because he walks in. He goes, Borden Obrook, Orbrook, Orbrook. Any of you here?
You have a kid you didn't tell us about.
Are we back yet?
Yeah, you guys are back. You're all back in the group, and it's like after the lunch hour rush, you'd made it back. You guys all link back up.
Over here.
He goes, oh, and he comes trotting over to you. He goes, a missive for you, Master, Master Dwarf.
Very good. Here's for you. Bing.
Yeah, give him some coin.
Yep. What's traditional?
How much? You know, a couple copper, silver, whatever you like to do.
Give it silver.
Okay. Bowden, check your email. Check your email for the message.
Check your email. Okay, okay.
I think it'd be more fun if you read it than me.
All right. 20. All right. Greetings, cousin. It has been some time since we've seen each other. I'll say you have been difficult to track down with your wandering in the world. No, that's true. I'm not sure if you have found what drew you from the hold, but I wish you well. Oh, it's from my cousin. Ah, this sounds like it's from Jenny. So I am sure you're wondering why I spent so much effort looking for you. I'm getting married. Oh, that's so wonderful. I know I cannot believe it either. I know it is not Barnum Gunghunk. And no, it is not Barnum Gunghunk. I am saved from that disaster my father wanted. Oh, good. He was a gunghunk. That's all you have to say. What could have possibly changed his mind? The son of one of the great smiths, Tygus Madforge. Oh, my lord, she's marrying a Madforge. Can you believe it? Me married to a Madforge. Okay, yeah, exactly. So this is a save the date, the autumn equinox, Elint 21st. Please come. I miss you, and I want to hear about your adventures. I will hold a spot for plus one for you. Wink. But I've got about plus five or six. I don't know. Your cousin, Jenny Stormgrave. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, that's so wonderful. Huh. So what are you guys doing for the 21st of Elint in the autumn equinox? Oh, wait a minute. I checked my planner. That doesn't happen to be the same day as what's-his-name's birthday, does it?
No.
Oh, good. All right. I'd hate to start the day with a calendar conflict.
What just happened?
DM slight jab at a player who does not check his calendar.
I'm just imagining Bodhi pulling out like a paper planner.
Oh, he literally does. He starts
to do it. It's great. Very in character.
Oh, this is wonderful. So what, you guys want to go? I haven't seen Jenny in years.
I'll go.
Everybody's just sort of looks like a wedding, huh? What? We're going. So, anyways, you guys have had
this will be great. She's marrying a Mad Forge. They're filthy rich. They're great to hang out with. Think of the best parties.
I'm in. That's all you had to say.
So, you guys have kind of had a busy morning of information. I mean, Adrox finally pulled out the Stone of Golar and actually looked at it a little bit.
Of exposition and
exposition
plot furthering.
Plots, yeah.
A delicious morning. With blood sausage even.
Blood sausage.
Oh.
And some Ares, spotted dick for dessert.
We gotta go with Ares had to go someplace. We didn't go to his appointment yet.
Well, I don't know if the group wants to join us, but we got some wizards that need some help, and they're willing to pay money. So it's kind of something point for me.
I'm going with no.
No. Okay.
I need to lay low.
We're just gonna go check it out. I mean, if you don't want to come along, we can go talk to them.
Yeah,
sounds good.
All right, you guys. It takes you about 20 minutes to move from the manor over to the address that Thomas Brenham has, and it's a business.
No, Ares, we can't take the Griffin again. Come on, this is downtown. They get weird about it.
Yeah, you return to the city. It's, you know, you get the usual intercept and everything else, and they sort of waved you in. But you guys make it over to the address. It's in the trade district, and kind of one of the narrower offices that you'd expect. You didn't really know what to expect, but as you step through, the bell rings, and there is a half orc sitting at the table, and there are two humans. Definitely, you get the impression of looking at them that some type of cell swords, just sort of sitting there. One of them's literally got the dagger out, cleaning his fingertips and everything, you know, cleaning under his fingernails. Half-orc looks up to you, just sort of nods to you, and goes back to just spinning the blade on the table as if bored. And you hear it in the back, it's like, would you guys stop bringing them? Smaller human comes out. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Thought it was these idiots out here playing with the bells again. He's like, and he sort of looks at the two of you. He's like, oh, what can I do for you guys? He's a smaller human, blonde hair, maybe all of 5'6" tall. Nicely appointed. I would almost say robes, but it's more like a business cat. It's more like the business shirt, the puffy shirt type thing. So it almost gives you the impression of more like a low-level functionary of like a government office. But he seems polite. He kind of looks at you, Ares, for a moment.
It's your party, Ares. I'm just muscle.
He kind of looks at you for a moment, and you notice there's that twitch when he sees a tiefling in the room, like, okay, don't recall seeing these before, you know, or has had very few encounters and everything else. But he steps forward and he goes, I'm Thomas. Thomas. And everything, and you are?
Nice to meet you, Tomas. I'm Ares, and I'm responding to a post that we found at the pub. At the inn.
So you're interested in recovering agents and being recovery agents to gather materials for us, are you?
Well, I'd like to hear more first.
Well, come. He looks over at the three. Would you guys aren't doing anything. Get out. Do something else. Go find something to do. You know, the half-orc just sort of scoots the chair over, gets out of the way. The two humans sort of stand up, step out of the way. They grumble, but they don't really say much to him.
Any of these guys have tats?
There's...
specific humans, ones?
The two humans, you definitely see the tats on them that show they were probably guards on ships like Marines, sort of like got the sailors tats, the sleeves on their arms and everything else.
No Zants or Zents or whatever.
No, you don't recognize any of the type of gang, the gang stuff that you've encountered, the other type of groups. They just sort of move out of the way, grumble a little bit. But they don't really say much. It's kind of funny, you know, get the guys that probably tower over him by 6-7 inches and everything else, and he's bossing around like just like half orc is the only thing that sort of moves. He looks at him, sort of moves over the chair and everything else. Thomas sits down next to the half orc and lets you get and offers you the two chairs that were just vacated by the two humans. And he grabs a binder that is on a small table next to him and sets it up. And he's like, look, he goes, so what we have to offer is we're looking for those that are interested in going out and collecting materials that we can use for various enchantment processes. Now, these materials, are kind of difficult to find because they're in creatures that just don't make it easy to find them. But as luck would have it, you know, some of our more skilled trackers, and he looks over at he sort of glances over the half orc, seems to have found a good spot for it and everything else. And you see, he goes, what we offer is, you know, it varies on what you collect and everything else. And we can go over all the details, and I can give you a whole list of stuff that we're looking for. There's everything from water dwelling creatures to air to flying creatures to land creatures that we're looking for. And you see him start flipping open the book and everything else, and he sort of turns and spins it, and he keeps flipping. And as you notice, as you're looking at the various sketches of pictures, one of the things that you notice in common is, like, even in the time you've been here, you know, in this realm, you're like, you don't recognize some of the pictures of the creatures at all. They're odd. There's what you know, whales generally have, you know, the big long fins and everything else. There's a picture of a whale as he's talking about the various water creatures and some of the components and everything else. You notice that it's like got three fins, you know, three sets of fins, even though it looks like a whale, a little bit different, things like that. There's creatures that look like giant, you know, bipedal lizards that, you know, could be dragons without wings, but they got big sail fins on the back. They've got giant, one of the larger birds that he points out, you know, he goes, this is a fascinating one. The wingspan is almost 40 feet on this thing. You see it's got a couple tails. It's from what I'm told, it's all pretty much a leathery type thing. It's almost like a glider. It's fascinating. He goes, and you notice that one of the sketches is a side profile of the face with the mouth open. And he goes, oh yeah, it's got teeth almost like, it's got long, sharp, pointy teeth that are almost like conal. Mm-hmm. And the two on the top jaw and the two on the bottom jaw that would be in the front would be like where the canines would be on a dog. He goes, yeah, I've told these things are almost 4 feet long. It's fascinating to see this. I mean, I haven't seen one in person and everything else, but this one just fascinates me. And he keeps flipping through the book and he's like, so yeah, these are just some examples of what various has. And you can see quick lists of stuff, lists like different, but you know, the internal body parts, things like that. The skins or scales or there's a couple things that is like, oh, if you can, he's like, and this one's really neat. But the problem with it is the mucus it secretes, and it looks like what you guys would probably relate to a salamander. He goes, but the mucus you secrete, if you don't handle it correctly, you probably won't get more than about 2 steps away from it. It that type of stuff. But he goes, so after doing his quick sales pitch and everything else for like 30 minutes, almost, it's like, almost like you're sitting through a, a timeshare sales pitch. He goes, if you're interested, I can, we can get you out of contract and we can get you set up to do it. Your expenses are covered to a point, but you know, we pay a couple gold a day for you to be out and about. But we really expect you to be somewhat self-sufficient. We'll definitely give you guys, we've got some ways to supply you and everything else, you know, to cover down and stuff, but you know, you'll more than make back any money that you have to spend to keep yourself supplied while you're on a hunt.
These, I forget what you had said, alchemical reactions, processes that were helping.
Well, all you're doing is getting us the raw components. And
yes, but these raw components, what kind of processes are they going to be used for?
They can be used for all sorts of enchantments. They can help with the healing processes. They can help make armor for the soldiers. They can, depending on what you find, but they run the gamut of actual what some of the artificers and wizards and the spellcasters can do. It's actually kind of amazing to me.
Well, I mean, gold and interesting creatures kind of has me sold. So okay. I'm down to help out for now.
Sounds good. He goes, well, so we can pay, you know, for, is it just be the two of you or you got others that are interested? I really don't see sending out a two-person party and everything else. It's, you know, you guys are going to be pretty much camping and roughing it out there in the wilderness where it's at. So,
I think we might be able to convince the rest of the party to come out on a hunt.
Yeah. He goes, well, I suggest not only having hunters, but you know, if you guys can give yourself a bit of a self-contained camp and everything else, make your life easier, might be a good thing. But, you know, if you can't, we can definitely, for a small fee, we can accommodate all that type of, we can accommodate taking care of you out there as well.
What is the minimum you recommend?
Doesn't really have a minimum and everything else. Don't ever recommend a solo hunter. he looks over at the orc and he's like, any of them come back? And orc just sort of grunts, shakes his head. Don't really say much. But
and
he goes two or three would be, he goes a two or three person hunting party would probably be a good size, but whatever you guys are, if you're competent, whatever you want to do.
So we get paid per day, and
we'll give you a small stipend. You know, you see he flips open one of the land creatures. That's the, it is a, looks like a lizard that's got a heavily armored back to it with a giant ball for a tail, big horns in the front. It's got several eyes. He goes, oh, the various parts of these and everything else, depending on if you catch one of these and you can actually, you know, pull out some of the stuff, you know, you could probably come back with about 6,000 to 8,000 gold if you can harvest all the pieces. And there's a list of like 30 different pieces that could be harvested from it. Anywhere from bones to internal organs to you know, even just like toenail clippings, things like that. It's a random type stuff. But he's like, one of these, if you successfully bring back the bulk of it and everything else, it'll probably net you about 8,000 to 10,000 gold.
I'm definitely in. When can we start?
Well, as soon as you have all the gear you need to travel, just come back and see me. We'll get you set up. We'll get you out, get you transported over to the hunting ground.
Okay. Let's Bowden is curious about the transport of the carcasses, do we have to carry everything back with us, or will we be assisted in such processes?
It really depends on where you make the kill at. I mean, if you have you, we are going to have not couriers. You can always hire some porters to come with you on the hunt, help you carry stuff back. Bowden, when you talk about when you sort of nudge him and look over at Ares about the thing, one of the things you do notice that is there's a sketch of that four-legged lizard that has what you guess is a humanoid to it, and you know it's got that comparison sketch of how big the creature is to how big a human would be, and you're guessing a average size human, it would be three people stacked on top to reach his shoulder.
I point to the picture to Aerie. It's like, that's going to be a pretty big carcass.
Oh, he goes, yeah. None of these things are really small, but they've got a lot of value if done correctly. Nah, I won't talk about that piece. Not with your kind. I don't want to offend you.
I'm curious. Please speak freely.
Well, I mean,
please offend us.
Offend us. He's like, well, go ahead. He's like, we also have, I have a couple other contracts that would definitely also be for those that are interested. Could even hunt demons and devils. They have, they're smaller, but the nice thing is they're small, compact size. They still give you about the same rate of the different components.
How much is this one worth?
Oh.
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
He's going to turn me in.
Oh, I hate to say it, but...
I know, Jeff. I'm just...
he goes, actually, every creature does have some value to some point and everything else, but we try to avoid taking any from this plane or this realm.
Let's regroup with the rest of the party, you know, talk things over. I mentioned Bowden, and I think we've got enough information for now. And I think you'll definitely be hearing from us.
I'm excited always excited to take on new hunters.
Awesome.
You guys head on back.
Yep.
Fill in the group.
Yep. Yes.
All right.
And I tell about how giant these critters are going to be. So Ares wants us to go out and kill a building.
Everything's giant to Bodhi. He's exaggerating.
Hey. AZ.
You tried to sell me.
Well, it's always good to know what you're worth.
Well, Grace just sits there and rolls her eyes.
So we're hunting?
We're hunting.
Okay.
It'll keep us busy until...
Great.
Until there's inevitably some horror that we need to put down again, so...
I'm sure the stone has more to tell us. I'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out, though.
So, you guys got a lot of information this round.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, looks like Bowden has a cousin who's getting married. Kel Grace has learned full moon are troublesome.
A lot of information.
Yes. Ares is like, something allows me to use my skills effectively and make a lot of money off it. And Adrock has finally decided to pull out this green stone he's had for weeks.
The single most powerful artifact in the entire party's possession. Oh yeah, we keep it in the bag. Probably the best, honestly, that's probably the best thing to do with it.
Yeah.
The DM's been thrilled about that decision.
It's like, oh, this doesn't radiate trouble at all.
Well, when you have an important and urgent quest, right. You know, the non-urgent, but maybe important, you don't know, it's a stone. Yeah. It just goes by the wayside.
Yes, it does.
3 days later, the stone is like, stop asking me where the dinosaurs are.
The stone's like, I don't care if you're hungry.
That's right.
I'm not telling you where to find donuts.
Wait, it can tell us where their donuts are?
I mean, it can.
Bodhi suddenly has a newfound respect for the rock. It is now known as the Donut Rock.
It will not only tell you where the donuts are, but it will tell you where the duck donuts are. The best donuts in Waterdeep.
Excellent.
That does sound like delicious donuts.
Yeah, they are delicious donuts. And you can find them down on in the harbor. Right next to the sea ward.
Bodhi goes to bed thinking of all the questions he wants to ask the stone. Starts making a list. Where's the best donuts? Where's the best duck? Where's the best? Where's the best beer? What am I thinking?
You guys had the recipe. You guys still have the recipe for the best beer.
That's true.
But anyways, I'd like to thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedule and playing a game. I hope you all had a great time.
Good time to be thankful for the stone, for the party, and for you, our DM.
And to be thankful for all the wonderful people that listen to this shenanigan mess.
Yeah, that is true. All right, guys. Thank you. Have a wonderful night. And we can look at getting set up for the next game in the future. Or you guys want to try? Or you guys want to try now? Okay, we'll do the most dreaded thing of all D&D games. Work the
calendar maintenance.
Calendar maintenance. Good night, guys.
Well, our heroes have a multitude of paths they can choose from. Bodhi has learned of an upcoming family celebration. Kelgrace has experienced the price of her newfound powers. She has learned someone knows what she is. The quintet still has an opportunity to join the Wraiths or the Harpers. Hell, Bodhi even did the honorable path and kept the promise to Fulgrim for the sword. But for now, our heroes have chosen to go hunt creatures in another realm. Thank you for listening to Smash, Loot, and Roll. See you next time, and take care.